Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men News. It is Daily News and today it is a press conference reaction show. Jurgen Klopp has just been speaking to the assembled media ahead of the game against Southampton. I am Paul Mitch and I'm joined by Chris Page. I have to talk through some of the key talking points on this. Just a little shout out though, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are past the 20,000 threshold. Let's smash it in the coming weeks. We want 100k by the end of the season, because why not? Chris Pajak, well, let's start with the big story. Probably one of the most incredible news stories I've had to cover in the time, in a decade of talking about Liverpool. So Liverpool's hero of the Super Cup, Adrian, could well miss the Southampton game because he was two-footed by a fan running onto the pitch.
It's mental, isn't it? I mean, I didn't see anything about it, and I didn't hear anything about it until the press conference. And you can see, you know, we've seen the video multiple times now, and he comes running on, and he's chased by a steward, and he two-footed.
Well, we can watch the video.
You can see.
So for those of you in the podcast, I apologise for this, you're going to hear some general crowd noises, but the Adrian makes the penalty save. He gets mobbed by, obviously, Jurgen Klopp, who had pace 90, as pointed out by a few people. And then out of nowhere, a guy in a white shirt, chased by stewards, runs, slips, like a bowling ball taking out the pins. And Adrian, he gets on like it's not bothered him too much and what have you, but...
It wasn't just him. It was Gomez. There was a coach going down and everything. And
this is one of those things.
And you know, Jurgen spoke about it in his press conferences about fans running onto the pitch and stuff. I mean, it's mad, isn't it? It's just a crazy thing. Now, clearly, the fan doesn't want to go over there and 2 foot him. I think he just slips as he's arriving to celebrate.
But
you don't know what's going to happen in that situation. You are being chased by somebody. These are highly trained and tuned athletes who we support at the end of the day. And listen, I understand that people want to feel like they're a part of something, but it's crazy to go running over and knock one of them down. Like,
But it probably wasn't meant equally.
Yeah,
but you're going on the pitch, you're a fucking moron if you're doing that. Because here's the thing, it's been normalised. I thought Klopp put it really interestingly. He's like saying, don't want fences. Nobody wants fences, but this is the point. The responsibility is being handed to us as fans. Football fans get such a bad rep. We get slandered constantly. And then things like this happen. And it was happening last season. There were people in government and they started to ask questions of why there weren't fences and stuff. And you've got to start going to the real reasons why there aren't, which none of us wants to see fences back at football matches. But people are treating it comically. This is a step in the wrong direction in this kind
Who's
of stuff.
Treating it comically?
Because you've got Instagrammers going on the pitch of the Champions League final to try and garner attention.
That's a business decision. No, people thinking it's funny.
People who don't take the... Because that's just someone who doesn't understand the ramifications of their actions in that... That's somebody probably not a football... I've got no idea whether she was a football fan or not. But they're treating this as a stage... As opposed to a thing. There's a reason why you can't even go on the Anfield pitch when you go on the tour. But they say to you, you can be prosecuted for crossing the white line, basically, because they have to put those laws in place. And don't get me wrong, the hypocrisy is strong, because at the same time, I like when the young lads get on the pitch in the pre-season games, but I also then see the people responsible at that club rage about it. And again, if this is the moment where it starts to change my opinion on it, you can see that it's fans coming on trying to get shirts and getting hugs, and you can see the sweet side of things. But Klopp said it was an interesting point. He's like, if you see someone trying to do it, just grab them.
Absolutely.
Just grab them.
Absolutely agree with that.
Again, it's a very, very weird situation. But I don't think the severity of this situation is being upsold enough because it's Adrian. And I don't think, as much as, you know, he was great in the week and he's become this like cult hero for us overnight, if that's Mo Salah or it's Roberto Firmino or it's Sadio Mane and they're missing games of football for us, I think there will be far more uproar about this. Or if it's stupid. It's a slippery slope.
My issue, Paul, isn't that, you know, I'm taking it comically. I just think that it was clearly not meant. If it's a Liverpool fan, he didn't mean it. Now, the problem with the action is you shouldn't do it in the first place. Yeah. But clearly to pillar him for doing it, it was an accident and we all make mistakes at the end of the day. And, you know, had he done it again, he wouldn't do it again, I suppose, is the point, because he knows what his actions would entail. If he knew he was going to do that, I don't think he'd do it.
Yeah.
But what you are saying is right. It shouldn't be allowed. It's not allowed.
It's not allowed.
You shouldn't go onto the pitch. But I don't see anybody taking it comically, and I don't think he meant to do that equally.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, look at the reaction of it, because it's people laughing because Liverpool fans have come on and two-footed the players and all this kind of stuff. There's this notion of running onto the pitch has become a thing. Like I probably saw four pitch invaders in the last six games or something of football that I've watched. You know, just during the play, there was one during the Community Shield. There was one during the Norwich game. There was one during at least one of the pre-season games as well. So, in fact, there's been a pitch invader in all three of Liverpool's competitive games this season.
Well, Jürgen said the Community Shield, but someone off camera said no. I don't remember it being the Community Shield.
There was definitely one in the Community Shield in the second half, and that's the thing. It's becoming an issue and you don't want it to knock on because there's idiots in power who will just take a draconian response to these things. So if you're thinking of doing it, just don't be a bellend, basically. Right, some more fallout from it. It leads to the interesting chat about the goalkeeper stuff. Klopp was asked whether Andy Lonergan's ready, and I thought it was interesting and he basically said yeah, you know, he's trained with us a lot longer than Adrian as well, so he's obviously a bit more integrated into the squad. But he then immediately jumped into mentioning Caoimhín Kelleher, who he said he's back in training, but he's actually not been back in 100% training until today because he's gonna have to be. And he took that opportunity to really upsell the qualities of the young lad, which means, you know, there's an outside possibility that we actually might see Kelleher in this game if we had to over Andy Lonergan.
Yeah, I mean, Klopp's keeping his cards close to his chest on this one, isn't he? You don't want Southampton or Ralph Hasenhüttl to be able to know who's going to be playing in goal or take advantage of that situation, do you? And my guess is that Adrian starts the game, to be honest, and Lonergan sits on the bench. But you never know. I mean, it's right to talk up Kelleher, isn't it? I mean, he's a player that Klopp mentioned that his ceiling's very high. He's spoken about him over the last few months at different points. And he's a good player by all accounts. Obviously, it was the broken wrist, was it, with Kelleher? Is that what the injury was?
It was his wrist, yeah.
Yeah. So he's been out of training for a little while now. Will we see him? I'd guess not. But interesting, you know, you got on the screen here, Opta Joe saying, should he debut for Liverpool? Andy Lonergan will be the oldest Englishman to make his Premier League debut in the 21st century, aged 35 years and 302 days. I mean, it's been a mad one for the Liverpool goalkeepers the last few weeks, hasn't it?
Literally, when you consider there's lads who've been released by Middlesbrough and West Ham who could end up being number one and number two choice for the club for the coming weeks. It's going to be an interesting choice, isn't it, for the manager? Because Andy Lonergan's not good enough to be Liverpool's goalkeeper. Let's be perfectly honest. But it's whether you think there's a value or a potential lack of value in rushing Kelleher back, because inevitably you only get one chance to make your debut, and that's something that psychologically you've got to carry with you. If it doesn't necessarily go to plan, if it's a bit too soon, particularly, do you want him to be at the peak of his powers, or is the Klopp the kind of guy who goes, no, I believe in you, here's your chance, go and grasp it with both hands.
I think what it sounded like to me from the press conference is that Jürgen is putting him back in full training and they're going to see out what the reaction is. Because if he has a wrist injury and he's in full training, he's going to be taking balls to the wrist and the hand and all that. Mm. So it's probably how he deals with that, isn't it? And if there's a reaction, he probably won't play.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that Keita's out. Paul Joyce is confirming it, but Jürgen Klopp said it. He very quickly kind of went through this, didn't he? He said it's a muscle thing. There's no date been set on a return for Naby, which is a real disappointment, of course. And James Pearce actually had a little bit of transfer news, which we'll come on to in a moment, on Dejan Lovren, which is a saga that continues. I say saga, I just genuinely couldn't care less. A couple of interesting things I thought was the club was asked about the turnaround time from this game.
He got asked it twice,
Jesus Christ. I loved the response to this because it's absolutely spot on. He's like, I'm not making excuses. He said, our plan was to win the Super Cup, was to win against Southampton.
And then I want to whinge about it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'll talk about it because he said, I don't want it to be seen like I'm making excuses because he said, how is it fair that Chelsea had to play on Sunday and then played on Wednesday? It's not fair, but you don't make excuses. It's the reality of your situation. Deal with it and then, you know, either make your peace with it or move on.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it is going to be difficult. We knew it as soon as the fixtures came out that it was going to be incredibly difficult for Liverpool. You know, going away against Southampton, they've not trained yet since the Super Cup. They got back yesterday and then they're going, he said, straight after, didn't he? So it's going to be difficult and Southampton are a good side. He mentioned tactically they set up differently. They surprised him last year because they played a different way. So he's unsure of what he's coming up against as well. That will play into it, but he hasn't had time to analyse it. The players haven't had time to train. They also played 120 minutes in a highly intense game of football.
Well, to be fair, he did say they have had time to analyse. He said the analysing thing wasn't going to be a problem because that stuff was all done. They watched the pre-season games and they watched the last game out. So, like he said, we've got the same amount of time as we ever have to do the analysis stuff, so that's not an issue. They just did it straight after.
So it's teaching the learnings of that analysis, it's the difficult part on that case because he wants to be able to go, this is what they're going to do, this is what you need to do, you need to be able to react in this situation and this is what you have to do. So that the analysis, I suppose, is irrelevant in that instance as long as it's been done. But if you can't enact what you've learned from the analysis, that's the problem going into the game.
Yeah, absolutely. But I just like that approach, though. Just Klopp going, look, I'm not going to make a big story out of it. It is what it is, and it also sends a message as well. I think it sends a message to the fans, sends a message to the squad. No, we're going to go out there. We're going to go win this because that's what I'd expect. You don't care if you've had a day's rest or 2 days or no rest at all. You pick yourself up and you go again. You're not going to. It's the second league game of the season. No excuses at this point because this is not. If you're getting this in April, then you'd expect everyone to be goosed, but it's a new season. People haven't got as much damage to the legs and what have you. But yeah, the only other talking point out of it was, of course, him saying about he was asked about the high line, and I really enjoyed that he basically just went, because there's been articles written about this all over the place this week, and he went, "It's how we always play. It's how we've always played.
I disagree with him there. I mean, I looked at the high line after the first game of the season, and it was, on average, against the last six Premier League games, at least 10 yards higher up the pitch. Now, what he's saying is, you know, it depends against your opposition. Now, if you've got more of the ball, that is going to come off as a higher line because your players will move more towards their half. But I think it's absolutely ruined. It's always been Liverpool's way to play a high line. It's just how far forward you actually go. Do Liverpool play a high line? The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Was it higher last week than it was previously? The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that that's because you had more of the ball? Probably. Mm-hmm. So Liverpool do play a high line. We've always played the high line. What I loved about what Klopp was saying is that, you know, you go away from the game and you're like, Chelsea had so many chances. And he was right. He was talking about it and he was saying, like, you know, those chances didn't count. Yet, what did he say? Here, it feels like they did. It does. He's exactly right.
Because they had so many offside decisions, either shots on goal or disallowed goals, you're right. In your heart and your gut, it feels like you at Liverpool were torn asunder. Whereas in reality, they're not chances. but it's very hard to disassociate your head from your heart in those situations. Now, I think we'd all agree, you know, they still got him behind, Norwich got him behind a few times as well, which means things still need to be tweaked, absolutely. But it's interesting to see.
But again, he spoke about it like riding a bike. He says, it's not like cycling. You know, football, it just takes time. So you might go in, I went into this season thinking, you know, we'll probably play exactly the same as we did at the end of last season. We've got no new signings to integrate. I went into thinking we'll just start how we ended, and then you see us score 4 goals in 25 minutes or whatever against Norwich, and you go, well, yeah, exactly, that's right, we're back. It's exactly what we are. But what he's saying is, no, we've been out, we've not played properly for 6-8 weeks with the same first team. It's going to take time, and it's picking and choosing those moments as a player that's the difficult thing, isn't it? So, and again, he mentioned, you know, comparing us to the end of last season, where he said, if you compare us to last August, this is exactly kind of how we played, which is interesting. Again,
there are constant arguments, and I've mentioned it, I haven't got a copy, so I won't 100% plug the book today, but someone said to me, like, and this, Klopp's got this wrong, I need to do this, I need to do this, and I had a little back and forth in YouTube comments after the Super Cup, and the problem is, at the start of every season, there's a something that's not right. And everyone thinks when you're not seeing Liverpool at their super duper peak of their powers, smashing teams 5-0 best, you therefore assume that it means something's wrong. And so you look for what that might be. And high line has become like this. It's becoming the new, oh, that's the issue. Oh, Liverpool playing with a high line. It becomes a catchphrase. It ends up in people's conversation via osmosis. And the answer to this is, we've only played 3 games of the season. And it takes time to get into the swing. Klopp is very clear before the season starts. You don't play your best football for 2 months. So people who are looking for things and looking for things to go, this is it, this is a major issue that needs sorting, chances are it's probably not, and it's probably part of the curve. Just quickly before we get your comments, James Pearce also tweeted, Roma wanted an initial loan for Dejan Lovren. That wouldn't have made any sense for Liverpool, so talks have ended. It's the right decision to keep him. Klopp needs 4 senior centre-backs with Liverpool competing on so many fronts. I completely agree on this. The Lovren stuff was a bit mad, unless there was a case where, you know, you were getting a massive chunk of money and he was going to be a bit of a bell end. But yeah, I think that'll put people's minds at ease, I think, a little bit.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Until he plays.
Yeah.
Why the hell did we keep Dejan Lovren? He's a liability.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what always happens, to be fair.
Ty, what you got?
Few takes on the Adrian stuff, as you'd expect. So Max Castillo says, what a joke. That guy should be fined heaps and banned forever. Actually a joke. Joey Murray says, I wouldn't be surprised if Kelleher starts if Adrian's out. Klopp kept mentioning when pushed on it. All that being said, I do think Adrian will be in goal tomorrow. Okay. And then Lee Duxbury says, look on the bright side, at least Andy Lonergan scores goals. And I've just found a video of him scoring a goal from his own box for Preston against Leicester in 2006.
Amazing.
So wouldn't that just be the perfect way to cap off this mad story of goalkeepers in the last week?
With it, 0-0, and he scores from inside his own half.
It wasn't from a goal kick,
game.
Was it? That rule's changed now.
Can't score,
kicked it out of his hand.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
And then another one, PW says, let Genie go in goal, that way he can complete the list of having played literally
every position that we made up with that. Yeah, thanks very much for your comments. Keep the discussion going in the comments section underneath, and of course you can tweet us at the Redmen TV as well. Make sure you head over to theredmentv.com if you want more Liverpool news. You can do, there's a whole host of things, including exclusive interviews with the gaffer Jurgen Klopp. We do the Reds News Roundup show every single Wednesday. That is a deep dive into all the biggest news stories surrounding Liverpool, with a little bit more in terms of bodies present on the show, so we can really delve into the issues from multiple perspectives and angles as well. So head over to theredmentv.com, sign up. It is completely free for the first month, and you get all that content in video form and in podcast form directly into your native podcasting apps on the go. Yes, I've been Paul Machin. That has been Chris Pajak. That has been your daily news on Red Men News. We'll see you soon.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.